I have a new version of these notes for you. They are being printed now, and they should be ready in 10 minutes. This is the first part of my notes, so we are going to try to go to finish this today and do the rest during the rest of the week. Okay. I would like to discuss today proper and smooth maps. U is a map of synthesis set. Then we have a pair, a Quillen pair. Adjoint functors, U S over A W C This is a notation I recall for the contravariant model structure on the category S over A. This is the pullback functor along U, which is running in the opposite direction, and this is just composition with U, and that's a Quillen pair of adjoint functors, and it is giving rise to a pair of adjoint functors between the homotopy categories . So the notation for the homotopy category of that is omega A. So we have omega B. And the notation for the pullback functor here is omega star U. For the derived pullback functor. So I should put an arrow in the two direction here, and the notation for the derived functor of the left Quillen functor is omega lower 3 Q. So let me say a few things about these derived functors. This functor here is very well behaved in the sense that Euler shriek preserve weak categorical weak equivalences. It's because this is true of any left Cullen functor when the model category, when every object is cofabrant. So, and that means that omega U or shriek is the functor from WC minus 1 S over A. Induced, directly induced by U number 3. So there is no need to sort of derive, you just go straight to the homotopy category and you have the induced functor. So this is here, this is omega A and this is omega B. This is a very minor observation, but which is useful because they have repaired it by gluing it. because you have if A, B, and C, if you have U and V, then it clearly V that's a true equality. It's more than just an isomorphism of functor. It's simply because the U lower shriek is obtained by composing with U. So that's a true equality. And this should be contrasted with the fact that on the other side, when you pull back, it's only up to an isomorphism. Right? Here it's a true equality. And when we pass to the homotopy category by inverting the weak equivalences, here they are called contravariant equivalences, but since this preserves weak equivalences, we also have that omega lower shriek of U of V, omega lower shriek of U is omega lower shriek of VU. That's a true equality. There is a similar thing for the right adjoint, omega upper star, but it's only up to isomorphism. So this should be contrast with the fact that omega upper star of VU, it's only canonically isomorphic to omega star of U, omega star of V. And what this means is that we have defined a functor which we may call omega lower shriek from S to cat. Because omega A is a large category, so we have defined a true functor. And actually, omega lower shriek is a two functor. not only a functor from S to cat, it's a two-functor, because recall that S has the structure of a two-category. Because this is not totally obvious, but it is something that can be proved, that here the harm between A and B is tau 1 of AB, which is defined to be tau 1 of B to the A. I should notice that omega lower shriek of A on the object is just omega A. I mean, omega is both a covariant and a contravariant functor, and so as a covariant functor, it is a true two functor. Okay, but since omega lower shriek of U is always left adjoint to omega upper star of U, there is an associated pseudo two functor. Omega lower upper from S to one to cat, big cat, which is contravariant. Yes, contravariant. And contravariant means that it reverts the orientation of one cells and also of two cells, right? And it's only a pseudo two functor simply because, as I said before, you have only a canonical isomorphism here. Okay, so this is pretty much like in sheaf theory, where you have the possibility of taking the pullback of a sheaf along a functor, or the pullback of a pre-sheaf, I should say. We are not in sheaf theory yet. The pullback of a pre-sheaf along a functor, and also to take left-hand extension. This is omega lower shriek is the left-hand extension idea. Okay? As this is the pullback, right? Curiously here, somehow, the left-hand extension is sort of better behave than the pullback, because you have the strict equality. Normally, it's the pullback. If you pull back a pre-sheaf along a functor, then this is very well behaved. This pullback is not only up to some kind of isomorphism, it is strict, right? Okay, but in category theory, you also have the right kind extension. In other words, this functor here, this functor here has a right adjoint, right? And we would like to show that. We would like to show that the omega upper star has a right adjoint, which should be understood as the right-hand extension idea. But so we would like to show that omega upper star of u has a right adjoint. Omega lower star of u from omega a to omega b. But it's not true that this pullback functor is a left Coulomb functor in general. Because if it were a left Coulomb functor, it would take the weak equivalences to weak equivalences, because every object here is cofibrant, and as usual, a left Coulomb functor has this property, and therefore one would see that the pullback of a contravariant equivalence along a map will have to be a contravariant equivalence. And now this cannot be true, because even with the classical homotopy category, this is not true. pullback functor, I mean, so let's look at this problem in the classical with the weak homotopy equivalence. So what you could do, for example, you could consider S over A weak homotopy equivalence and S over B weak homotopy equivalence, and there is a similar situation, right? You have U and a pullback, but this time, the functor, the pullback functor, U upper star has a right adjoint. I mean, this is true because the category of simply said is a topos. In any topos, the pullback functor, the base change functor, has a right adjoint. So the functor, this has a right adjoint U lower, okay? But it's not true, but the pair U upper star U lower star is not a Coulomb equivalence. Therefore, you cannot take the right derived functor of the pullback functor. However, it is equivalent. It is a Coulomb equivalence if U is a confabration. So, if U is a confabration, the functor U upper star is a left Coulomb functor. It's because the pullback, because the model, the classical model category. Why? It's because S who his right proper. Okay, the pullback of a weak homotopy equivalence along a confabulation is a weak homotopy equivalence, and that's enough to implies that the functor U upper star has is a left quillen functor. Okay, so it's a little bit funny here because clearly we know that the situation, which is we know that any map can be replaced up to equivalence by a confabulation. Therefore, you expect that although U upper star does not has a, is not a left quillen functor, you may be able to do something about this because you can replace U by a confabulation. So let me just draw a little picture. So what you would do, so you want to suppose, okay, so you have a map U, and you want to define a right, a derived right adjoint to U upper star. So you replace U, you replace, you see the weak equivalence, weak homotopy equivalence. And A prime. And you replace U by a U prime, which is a confabulation. Okay. Now, what happened is that the pullback functor here, let's call it I, weak homotopy equivalence, so you have I lower shriek I upper star. if I is a weak homotopy equivalence, then this is equivalent, quillen equivalence. This is a quillen equivalence. So as far as the homotopy category is concerned, you can replace the homotopy category of, let's say, of objects over A, of Kahn complex over A, whatever, by the homotopy category of objects over A prime, and then you will be able to define the right adjoint to pulling back, or the sort of derived right adjoint to pulling back, by using U prime upper star. So it's a little bit of a strange situation because what it says is that, you see, I can define a U prime upper star here, which is going to go to S over B, who, okay, and this is a right quillen functor, and the functor you're looking for is going to be obtained by composing a left quillen functor. That is, you move along I lower shriek, you compose along a left quillen functor, which is in fact here a quillen equivalence, and then you take the lower star, U prime lower star, which is a right quillen functor. So you compose a left quillen functor, which is a quillen equivalence, with a right quillen functor in order to get the result. Okay? So that's the classical thing. And we would like to do the same thing with Omega. But there is an obstacle because we don't have a right proper model category here. So we have to do something else. And this is what I would like to explain. And I need to introduce Grothendieck vibrations and proper maps. So what is a proper map definition? We say that a map U from A to B is proper if the functor, if the functor U upper star takes a right anodyne map to a right anodyne map. This is really a notion which was introduced by Grothendieck in the context of CAT. Another way of saying this, I could say that the functor U star takes a final map to a final map. I mean that if you have something here over B, which is, let's say, right anodyne, then if you pull it back along U, it remains right anodyne. recall that a right anodyne map is exactly a final map which is monic. And this condition also can be expressed by saying that it is taking a final map to a final map over A. A final map over B to a final map over A. So that's now, if when U is proper, you can take when U is proper, the pair U upper star so now I put the right adjoint U lower star here is a Coulomb pair. When U is proper. This is not a deep thing. This is really very easy to prove, right? It's not a big theorem. You take the definition here, you have to make explicit what are the contravariant equivalents, and you get it. This is a just almost like a one-life proof theorem, right? And therefore, in this case, the functor. Omega upper star of U from omega B to omega A has a right adjoint. Omega lower star of U. Okay? But we would like to show that it has a right adjoint in every case. So what are the examples of proper maps? We have to show that there are many, many proper maps, and somehow we would like to make a factorization of this map as something which may look like an equivalence, but which won't be, but something, a good map followed by a proper map. So we would like to have examples of proper maps. So examples of proper maps. A left fabrication is proper. Well, that's interesting because what it says is that the pullback of a right anodyne map along a left fibration is right anodyne. So there is an interaction between these factorization systems, right? And more generally, a Grothendieck fibration, but I have not defined Grothendieck fibration, a Grothendieck up fibration is proper. And so I have to define what is a Grothendieck fibration and a Grothendieck up fibration. There is a dual notion of smooth map. I mean, maybe I should just say a few words about that. A map is said to be smooth if the opposite map, U up, is U is smooth U up from A up to B up is proper. So this is just question of duality. In other words, a map is smooth if the pullback functor takes a left anodyne map to a left anodyne map. That's a notion of smooth map. And there are examples of smooth maps. For example, a right fibration is smooth and a Grothendieck fibration is smooth. Okay. So let me introduce the notions of Grothendieck fibration. So there are many ways to look at what is a Grothendieck fibration, but it all depends on the idea of Cartesian arrows. With respect to a functor. Let's say P from X to Y. So one way of looking at this is that an arrow F from A to B in X is Cartesian if and only if the square so if you slice X over A you have a functor here which is just composition with F and if you slice Y over PA it's the same thing there is a composition with PF downstairs and the functor P induces vertical things here so this is you get a commutative square of categories and if the square is Cartesian that's one way of looking at a Cartesian arrow in a category an arrow in a actually this is sometimes called strongly Cartesian etc but well there are two notions of Cartesian arrows but this is a strong one this is here you can prove that the composite of two Cartesian arrows is Cartesian right okay so let me explicit a little bit this definition what it means it means the following that if you have something here and something there that fits here then it can be lifted uniquely so it means so you have let me draw a picture you have X you have Y and you have P and I have this arrow here and I want to say that it is Cartesian PA PB at the image so to take something here is to take an arrow like this let's say G from some C so I'm taking some arrow here and I assume that if I move it downstairs I can lift it to PA in other words I have something like this together with a lifting in other words downstairs I have a commutative triangle that's the data that's the arrow from some PC to PA and that fits here so and in that situation you should be able to find a unique arrow from C to A okay in other words you can lift the factorization of an arrow G by F I mean if the image of G can be factored through F in a certain way then this factorization can be lifted in a unique way right that's the notion of Cartesian arrow that I'm using okay so now this can be reformulated for simplified sets because we have the slice but there is a problem here because we are using composition I'm using the composition of with F and in a simplified set there is no composition or even in a quasi category so we have to reformulate a little bit the notion of Cartesian arrow in this context okay so the first observation is that we can consider the category X over F. I mean, the sentence has said we have defined this thing for any diagram, and it makes sense. X over F is the same thing as X over B when X is a category. X over F, I just recall what X over F looks like. You have an arrow F, and an object of X over F is a diagram like this. It's a cone over F, right? It's a commutative thing over F. So it's an object X together with two maps making this triangle commute. But clearly, this thing is completely determined by O, that's X over A, right? It's completely determined by the arrow from X to A. So X over F is the same thing as X over A when X is a category. Okay, but in general, we have a projection that is, in general, we have a projection from X over F to X over A, simply because a cone like this, you can restrict the cone to its initial part, so this arrow. So we have a projection, and this is a trivial vibration. And it is a trivial vibration. It's not an isomorphism, but it is a trivial vibration. If X is a quasi-category. So the idea would be to replace X over A in this diagram by X over F. Because then there is also a projection from X over F to X over B. It's another projection here. And instead of saying that this diagram is Cartesian, we can say that it is homotopy Cartesian. So that's the idea. Definition. So I'm going to define the notion of Cartesian arrow for let's say P. I'm going to suppose that P is a mid vibration. In Q cat. So it's a small requirement because you don't see these conditions in cat. Every functor is a mid vibration in cat. And it's very easy to, I mean, any quasi vibration, the quasi vibrations are the vibrations for the model structure and quasi categories. And any quasi-fibration is a mid-fibration. So this is a very small requirement in CAT. So we shall say that an arrow F in X is Cartesian. If the square X over F Y over PF x over b y over pb if the square is homotopy Cartesian. Well, homotopy Cartesian square of quasi categories. Well, this is really just about the fact that the pullback here, there will be a map from XF into the pullback, and it's going to say that this map from Y to PF per times Y over PB X over B is a trivial fabrication. That's equivalent to say that. I mean, given the condition that we start with a mid-fabrication, it's about saying that this map is a trivial fabrication. That's one possible definition of Cartesian arrow. I mean, yeah, it's really not very different from that. Okay, that's the notions of Cartesian arrow, but now what is a Grothendieck fabrication? It's defined as usual. We call a map P in Q cap. So it's a map between quasi category. A Grothendieck fabrication if P is a mid-fabrication and for every B in X and every arrow G in Y with target with target P of B, there exists a Cartesian arrow F with target B such that P of F is equal to G. Okay, lifting. Every arrow can be lifted to the Cartesian arrow. Okay, the notions of Grothendieck fabrication defined here is only for maps between in Q cap, but there is also a notion of Grothendieck fabrication for map between same size sets that are defined in the notes, and I will not do that. But let me give you examples of Grothendieck fabrations. Right fabrication. Is a Grothendieck fabrication. And also the projection projection. The source projection from x to the eye to x is a Grothendieck fibration. For any quasi category X, there is a similar result for cat. I mean, any discrete fibration is a Grothendieck fibration, and the source projection from the category of Farrow to X is a Grothendieck fibration for any quasi category. Oh, no, I should not do that. Yeah. Okay, so and moreover, Grothendieck fibrations are smooth. And Grothendieck up fibrations are proper. So let me come to the factorization of a map as it's 17.4. Okay. So what happened is this. So let A and B be quasi-categories. Then if you take a map, you can factor it as a Grothendieck fibration U equal to Ti from A to C to B, with I a left adjoint, and P a Grothendieck up fibration. If you prefer, you could also factor as a right adjoint followed by a Grothendieck fibration. Now let's look a little bit at this construction, because that's an easy thing. This is a factorization that somehow you know, you have been using maybe many times. It should be in my note. Yeah, it's 17.16. It's actually, it's 16.7. It's actually this is the dual. Of the above. Okay, so what is this factorization? you just take b to the I. I'm going to take the source map, B, A, U, and you pull back. And let's call that P prime, I would call it P star of U. This is a well-known construction. It's what it says is that you consider if A and B are categories, you want to consider pairs consisting of an object of A together with a map F from UA to B. I mean, an object of this is a pair consisting of an object of A together with an arrow from UA to B. Right? That's the... right. Now, this thing here is a Grothendieck fibration. S is a Grothendieck fibration, so if you pull it back, you get a Grothendieck fibration here. So P is a Grothendieck fibration here. On the other hand, you can define this is the identity here. You take the identity of A. And here you go to B with U, and here you go to the diagonal of the arrows. And this square commutes, and you get a map I here. Now, you can check that I is left adjoint to P. That's completely elementary, and this is true also not only for categories but for quasi-categories. Okay. So, if we want to show that there's more, I is left adjoint to P, and of course that P composed with I is U. That's a factorization. I got it wrong. Yeah, you help me. Yeah, right. So I'm confused. I'm very, very confused at this moment. I'm not able to think. So you know exactly what to do? Okay. So you tell me. Okay, that's the fibration I'm looking for. Yeah, right. So this is not the right one. This is, let's say, P1, and there is, okay, right. Okay, yeah. I will have to make clear. Yeah, that's correct. Okay, that's P. Okay. And now everything's correct. Okay, right. Okay. I had chosen the wrong, yeah, I have to, okay, I know these constructions for years, but I keep, yeah, exactly, and the marvelous thing is that this classical construction somehow work at a different context, you know, it's. So if you know the classical construction, you know what to do here, right? Yeah. The extra ingredient here is this left adjointness. I mean, classically, one would have an homotopy possibly between the two, between I and P. I'm sorry, not an homotopy, but
The point is that IR detection is trivial vibration.
Yeah. Let's see. I is like an inclusion, and P. What am I doing? No. It's all wrong. What am I doing? P. No. P should land into A, right? We have the wrong target for P, right? We want P to land into A. My God, I'm completely confused. I'm completely confused. I should sit down and look at this. You help me. Okay. So what do we want? Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me read this carefully. Yeah, right. No, I got it wrong. Right. Okay. Okay. So I think it's partly a matter of notation. Okay, so let me start again. Okay, that makes sense now. At least from the point of view of typing, it makes sense. Okay? You want I to be a left adjoint of something. It's a left adjoint to this projection, P1. Okay, that's what I guess. And what else? I guess. Yeah. Okay. It's all. Okay. So I is not left adjoint to P. This doesn't make sense. It's left adjoint to something. You don't care what it is about. So there will be a little bit of corrections to be done in Civic 16.7, but you can do it by yourself. I'm sure you can figure it out. In the case of cat first, and then you just do it for set. Okay. Okay, what kind of conclusion can we draw from that? Okay, we have that I, let's look at I, is left adjoint to P1. Now, this is going to imply that omega, lower shriek of I, will be left adjoint to omega, lower shriek of P1. With I, a left adjoint, I said. I always confuse. That's McLean, you know. That's his fault. I never know on which side. I mean, I have great respect for McLean, but this was not necessarily. At least, okay, it's fine. Okay. Now, this is because omega lower shriek is a two functor. So you take an adjoint pair in S to adjoint pair in cat, just right. Okay, now if we take right adjoint to that, that's going to imply that, what do you think? That omega, believe it or not, am I doing something wrong now? Is this right? It's a funny thing, because you expect that omega star being sort of contravariant, right? That it's going to be the other way, okay? But be careful, just check carefully, and it's the way it is. It has nothing to do with the omega. You can try it with U lower shriek and U upper star in cat. It's the same sort of phenomena, right? If you have a pair of adjoint functors, then you look at the corresponding pullback functors, and that's the kind of situation that you have. Okay. So, this has a right adjoint. Which is omega upper star of P1. Okay? In other words, in something, the pullback functor may have a right adjoint even if I is not proper. It's enough for that I should have itself a right adjoint, right? Okay. So here we get the result that the pulling back has a right adjoint, not from the idea of properness, but just from the fact that I itself has a right adjoint. Okay. And now we are in business, because we want to show that omega upper star of U has the right adjoint. But omega upper star of U is the composite of, because of this factorization here, it's going to be omega upper star of I, omega upper star of P. So we have this. Now, a composite of right adjoint is a right adjoint. We know that this has a right adjoint, so it's enough to show that this has a right adjoint. So, but omega star of P has a right adjoint, since Grothendieck do I get it right now? Yeah, a Grothendieck fab I'm afraid I have Grothendieck up fabration is proper. Now, I'm afraid I messed it up. I need a Grundzik of fabrication, and apparently I have produced a Grundzik fabrication here, so I messed it up. I don't know which. It seems that I'm just fixing things, and I did it right, but my note seems to be a little bit confused. And yeah. Well, it's not totally obvious that this composite, by the way, I mean, this is obvious that this map will be an up fabrication by pulling back, but really you want this map to be... You have to describe, I think, this thing differently using, as in classical homotopy theory.
That map is pulled back.
Yeah. So you have to do a little bit of proof here. But classical homotopy theory is a good guide for doing the proof. But you got the idea, okay? So you have this factorization. And this proof is something I think that is in Grothendieck in his theory of derivateur. I mean, he has a sort of general theory, what he called derivateur, in the notes by Malciniotis. And one can show that something has a right adjoint. This is a typical Grothendieck argument. I mean, if you look into his work, right, he has done this kind of things all the time, you know. Okay. So for the rest of this morning, since I want to finish with this part this morning, I should tell you about, we have omega A, which is the analog of, let's say, of the category of precedes on a category. That's the analog. And there is also a very useful notion, which is the notions of bimodule. So a bimodule should be a precede on, so A and B are categories. It could be defined to be a contravariant functor in A and a covariant functor in B. And you would like to have something like that too, which I call omega AB. Okay? So that when B is 1, I would like to say that this is the same thing as precede when B is 1, right? So some kind of theory of bimodules. And this is possible. There is a nice theory of bimodules. It is not totally straightforward, either. The reason is that you would like to be able to compose bimodule. So if M is a bimodule in, so this is a contravariant functor in A, and so you may write it like this as a sort of arrow from A to B, and N, if you have another bimodule from B to C, you would like to be able to take that and produce a bimodule that you may write N tensor B M from A to C, right? And so I will briefly describe how it goes. Maybe I should tell you a little bit why I want to do that. It's because if you do that, you get the category of bimodules is a bi category. Composition is a tensor, right? So there are, the objects are categories, the arrows are bimodules, compositions is tensor, and there are two cells which are maps between bimodules. So it's a bicategory. Now, it's not only a bicategory, it's a monoidal bicategory. It is a compact close monoidal by category. The monoidal structure is the Cartesian product. I mean, if you have a bimodule then you can define a bimodule M tensor N, which I write M tensor N, from A cross C, the Cartesian product of the categories, to B cross D. So that's the tensor product. It's really, you could write it as a Cartesian product if you like. It's just that M, as a functor, M tensor N evaluated on AC BD is simply M of AB cross N of BD. Okay? So that's there is a tensor product there. It's a tensor product in a bicategory, right? You may think of it as a monoidal. It's a monoidal bicategory, but it's also compact close. And compactness means, in the terminology of category theorists, means that there is a duality. Every object has a dual. So every category A has a dual, which is A op. I mean, what else could it be, right? Which is A op. And that means that there are certain bimodules. This is which you may write right. Epsilon A and eta A. There are certain bimodules, if A is a category, there are certain bimodules that establish that A op is really the dual of A, in a sense that the usual identity for duality are, so if I write epsilon like this, if I use string diagrams, epsilon A, so it's like A up to nothing, and eta A for A up, then the triangle, the duality triangle are holds. There would be a duality. And that means that this thing, epsilon A, eta A, is isomorphic to the identity of A. And the same thing, so that's composition in a tensor category. You can use Feynman diagrams to describe compositions in a monoidal category, except that here I'm cheating a little bit because it's a monoidal bicategory. So these things, instead of being an equality, it's an isomorphism. What you have is an isomorphism between the two, and the same thing on the other side, right? I have A up. Epsilon A up eta A up is isomorphic to the identity of A up. Okay? The reason I want to develop this is because I want to develop a theory of trace for quasi-categories and a calculus of traces. And the duality is very important, and these bimodules are very important for that. It's related to the notions of Cohen in category theory. There's a notion of Cohen in category theory, and it could be seen as a trace. So the theory of limits and colimits can be sort of viewed as a theory of trace and co-trace. And I would like to do that. So that's the motivation. And I need to describe omega AB, so which is bimodules, the category of bimodules. And proceed in two steps. First, one, there is a miracle. Yeah, it is a miracle, because I work on this for 10 years without seeing it. It was just in front of my face, and it took me, I mean, this is sort of very surprising for me, is that S over I, you slice S over I, and you take the model category, okay? If you slice a model category over an object, there's always an induced model structure, okay? But usually the induced model structure is sort of bad because the Cartesian product here is the Faber product, okay? And you do not expect Faber product to preserve weak equivalences. The Faber product is not equivalent functors of two variables, right? And so these model structure are not so-called Cartesian, in the sense that the Cartesian product with a fixed object, for example, does not preserve weak equivalences, right? But this one is. So it is a Cartesian close model category. It's very easy to check that S over I, of course, is Cartesian close. It's a topos, and you slice. This is Cartesian close.
Is I something special here?
I'm sorry?
I something special here?
Oh, yeah, that's the interval. Oh, no, it's true only for the interval. You see? I don't know that it is true for another object. If instead of the interval I put delta 2, I think it's false. Okay? This is why I see it's a miracle, because I would have never expected that. It's false for every object except for I. And the fact that it's true for I makes life very nice. Let me just observe that this thing is not true if instead of W cat you take weak homotopy equivalence, it's not true. Because here the Faber product over I does not preserve weak equivalence, right? So you have to put here W cat if you want this to be true. with the classical homotopy cluster, it's not true. This is not too difficult to prove. This is not something which is my time is over. I think I should stop. Yeah, so